Welcome to Trigger Talk Radio with your host, Dick Kupke. From handguns to rifles and hunting to self-defense, even a bit of politics. It's time to exercise your First and Second Amendment rights. Call and join the conversation, 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Dick Kupke.
Well, good morning and welcome back to Trigger Talk on June 12th. And it feels more like August 12th out there. It is so hot and muggy, but that's wonderful, isn't it? It's finally summertime again, up and down and up and down. Actually, I know it's summertime because I went, yesterday, I spent a couple of hours, 3 hours, well, 9:30, 12:30, yeah, 3 hours out at the club, but the range. But what I did was not shooting. I was actually taking the Fist Queen down off of the pistol house because when it is that hot and that muggy, you need all the airflow you can through there. So now the pistol house is back, you know, fully ventilated, everybody. So you're welcome to come on out. We have got some gun shows. There's actually only one gun show in Michigan, the original Grand Rapids Gun and Knife Show at the 4 Mile Showplace in Grand Rapids. And Ohio's got a few. The Flag City Toys That Shoot Air Gun Show. Yes, one of the few air gun shows around. And that's outstanding. So, and nowadays, since you can't find ammo, air guns are a good way to practice. Okay, actually, I did some interesting ballistics testing with 22 caliber ammo on one of the guns that I have, one of the air guns that I have, and I was able to. There's like a lot of different sizes and shapes and everything of the ammo you can get for air guns, and there's, you know, ones with little points, ballistic tips on them, and there's ones that are, quote, armor-piercing that have like a BB in the end. I mean, it's pretty cool stuff. And they range from like 7.3, maybe 5.7 grains up to like 15 or 18 grains or something like that. So you can have, just like in regular powder guns, you can have heavy and slow or light and fast. I want to say the accuracy is the same kind of thing. Sometimes light is good, sometimes it's not good. So, and the only thing is that I'm testing them all in the same air gun, so with the same rifling and stuff. So I don't know how much it would be affected by a different twist rate or something like that. But you can have a lot of fun with an air gun, and you can have a lot of accurate practice with it. So do not discount them. Now, the ammo is I want to say it didn't used to be so much cheaper than 22 ammo, but that was back when 22 ammo was reasonable, okay, when you could get, 550 rounds for $8 or something at Walmart. But nowadays, because you're paying a lot more than that for a brick of 22, it still is a relative bargain out there. Let's see. Also, the Medina Gun Show in Medina, Ohio, and the Lake County Gun Show at Painesville, Ohio, the Lake County Gun Show Fairgrounds. Missouri's got, they actually canceled their RK St. Charles Gun Show. I don't know why. So the only one in Missouri got closed. And this is actually a neat kind of place that New York has a gun show today. So Mike out in Long Island, I don't know where Little Falls, New York is, but they actually call it the Bear Arms Outdoor Sportsman's Gun Swap Meet. So what a hilarious play on, you know, the right to keep and bear arms. This is called Bear, B-A-R-E, Arms. And it's actually called Bear Arms Gun Shop, and it shows the sign has like a bear. So it's a good play on it, okay? Bear Arms as Bear Arms Gun Shop, and it's Bear Arms, Little Falls, New York. So at any rate, numbers are the same. We're at 751,000 on our CPLs. And I wanted to say, I was doing some research because last week we had a listener and his call intrigued me about carcanos, okay? And so I was looking up, and there are some relative bargains out there in the carcano world. You can get them at like Palmetto State Arms or Royal Tiger Imports. They've got a lot of different ones. They had some that were carbine length ones, but they're sold out of those right now. They were only like $264. They have some that are like 3.5 and stuff like that. Same thing with Palmetto Arms. And you could get them in varying conditions. I want to say the Royal Tiger Import ones intrigue me because they are from that Ethiopian reserve of firearms that they found over there and that they are cleaning up and selling. And it seems, I want to say they're in pretty neat condition. So at any rate, let's see. The thing about it, though, is that I was a little, I don't want to say mistaken, but I had hoped when the listener said, well, they're 6.5 by 62, I think, no, by 52 or 53 millimeters, 6.5 by 52 millimeter cartridge. And I'm thinking, well, that's not that far off from like a 6.5 Creedmoor. I wonder what kind of, you know, accuracy you could work out with those. You could maybe load them up with, you know, some of these extremely low drag bullets, and you could maybe have an interesting kind of a on the cheap long distance rifle. Well, that may not be the case, okay? And the reason is that the 6.5 Carcano shoots a bullet that is a 0.268 diameter, okay? And most of the commonly available 6.5 ammo, like they use in 6.5 Creedmoor and things like that, are 0.264. A little bit smaller diameter. Now you might go, well, that's only, you know, 4 or 10 thousandths. That's not much, but it can make a difference. And so what happens is, or 4 thousandths, what can happen is that the you don't have the accuracy that you would have on the bullet that the diameter is actually designed for the barrel. So the other thing I was noting is that the 6.5 Carcano rounds have that extremely long, which led me to believe that you can get some decent low drag bullets for it, but no, extremely long bullet length. And so you have to consider that the length of the case, the length of the bullet, and the jump, okay? The jump is the distance between where the bullet starts, let's say, and where it jumps to the through the chamber to the barrel and where the rifling starts, okay? And so you pretty much have to go with the length that they designed the thing for. Turns out that Hornady does make a 0.268 bullet, okay? I think it's 160 grain, but it is a round nose soft point, and it's like a big long blunt bullet. So you're not going to end up with the extremely low drag that I was hoping you were going to get. Doesn't mean it couldn't be a fun shooter and have a good time with it. However, it's not going to be able to interchange bullets with a 6.5 Creedmoor. So at any rate, here's a story. My wife mentioned this morning while I was doing some show prep and eating breakfast. And she said, did you see this story about a woman's car got shot on Judd Road here in Saline? I said, no, I didn't know that. And so I looked it up, and it's interesting because this is not an occurrence that happens very often when somebody has an errant shot and matter of fact, it looks absolutely like it was something that was ricocheting because there's a picture of it in the Saline Post and it's elongated like an oval shape. So it was probably tumbling. And she said it didn't go through the interior door trim panel. Of course, it could have hit the reinforcement or something too. But the point is that it didn't intrude into the interior of the car, but it did make a hole in the door. And there's a couple of things about this that's interesting. One is that the response is, well, people are known to target shoot in the area and stuff like that, and but you know, normally nothing that gets off the property and blah 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 blah. Well, yes, and apparently there were people shooting. This happened on Sunday afternoon, so whoever was target shooting on Judd Road in Saline on Sunday afternoon, you have to be careful, a little more careful. You are responsible for where your projectile goes, okay? Not just straight, but it could be a ricochet. It could be a skip off the ground. It could have hit us. Maybe you were shooting steel or something like that, and it ricocheted off. So you are responsible for where that projectile goes. You have to know what your target is and know what's behind it. And also, what may not be behind it, it might be more off to the side, but ricochets, okay? So I find it interesting, though. I'm reading a story, and a York Township woman reported that her vehicle was struck by a bullet as she was driving on Judd Road. Deborah Tutak was westbound on Judd Road, approaching the stop sign at Saline Milan Road, when she heard a loud explosion on the driver's side of her vehicle. So that means it was somebody shooting south off of Judd Road. So let's see. No, she was heading west. I'm sorry, shooting north off of Judd Road. She got out of her car to see what made the noise, but didn't notice that there was a hole in the door until later when she got home. So she called the Washtenaw County Sheriff's, and they couldn't shed much more light on the incident. I mean, obviously, it happened. Jackson said there is a home on Saline Milan Road known to have target practice shooting. And so, okay, if you know who that is, just be careful. You know, maybe the person is, I got to tell you, I'm sure the person is not aware of it, and that's no excuse for it, but we all have to be responsible. It could be that, you know, you may have been shooting there for 50 years, but now there's homes and more traffic and stuff like that. So you have to be careful. Now, I don't know how Derek got involved, but York Township trustee Derek Stern was glad there were no injuries. He forwarded details of the incident to the supervisor and said he'd follow up with the incident with the Washtenaw County Sheriff's Office. Stern said the issue will be addressed at the next York Township meeting. Well, I got to tell you guys, we've already been through this years ago, not because of an incident of an off-property bullet of somebody shooting in their own private home, but that was when somebody was having a shoot that was very noisy and stuff, and there were people complaining about it. You know, this is the United States of America. We have a Second Amendment. You have the ability to target shoot on your own property, but you have to be safe. Okay, so I got to say, there's nothing for the York Township trustee or the supervisor to be doing about this, because this is the United States of America. So at any rate, speaking of that, that's for now, okay? Because here I am going to talk about politics this week. Oh, I know, we hate politics. But you have to talk about it because you have to be aware of what's going on. And last week, actually, Ed Bondaranco called up about the incident we'll talk about that more, the Ninth Circuit Court out in California and the California federal judge declaring that the assault weapons ban was unconstitutional. We'll talk about that a little bit more. But the Democrats file federal gun licensing and registration bill. Oh, yeah, here we go. One of the worst fears for gun owners is gun registration. And the reason is that once firearms are registered, it's much easier to confiscate them. We've seen how this shakes out elsewhere, and it always ends up the same end result with the registration scheme. Well, up until now, the Democrats have been smart enough to steer clear of this at the national level, okay? And while it may play well in an anti-gun state like California or something, it doesn't do well in the rest of the United States as a whole. But it seems those days are over, because now a group of Democrats in Congress this month have filed legislation that seeks to set new, much more restrictive standards for even the most basic handgun ownership in the United States. Now, that's if you're out in the whole United States, you go, what? Handgun registration? Well, we're one of the eight stupid states that makes you have a handgun registration. Michigan does right now. They don't in Ohio, and they don't in Indiana and other many, many other places. But in some states, they do. Okay, and Michigan's one of those. And it, I want to say it started out, who remembers when we used to have to take our handguns in to have a safety check when you bought it? Even if it's a brand new handgun out of the box from Ruger, Smith & Wesson, Colt, or something like that, you had to take it into the police department, or local, might have been Pittsfield Township or Washtenaw County Sheriff's or something, and have them check the gun, okay? Well, some of them took them very seriously. I got to say, I knew the officer, the sergeant at Pittsfield Township that used to do the safety check, and he actually checked to make sure things appeared to be, you know, no, especially on used guns, but no cracks, that the chambering, you know, it went into battery correctly and all that kind of stuff. So that probably served some purpose if you're going to have a safety check. Other places, the main reason was to get the serial number off the firearm so they could register it to you. Okay, just so happens that they registered it while they were doing their, quote, safety check. Okay, well, they got rid of that. And the thing is, and nowadays you still have to do the registration here, but you don't do the safety check anymore. So that kind of shows you what the real purpose of that was. But this group of Democrats want to do it for everywhere in the United States, as you know, because that's the thing. We don't know who's got the guns and where they are. Exactly. That's the point. Okay. So, and then they go on, they go, This representative, what's her name? Bonnie Watson of a New Jersey Democrat. Imagine that, a gun control bill by a New Jersey Democrat. Who would have guessed, okay? But our government requires registration and basic standards for voting, operating a vehicle, even opening a business, said Representative Bonnie Watson. Okay, that's kind of ironic that you would talk about registration and stuff for voting. Because aren't you the guys that want anybody who walks in to be able to vote? Or you want a whole bunch of unfolded, mimeographed, who remembers the term mimeographed? Remember that? That's A.B. Dick. They spun the thing. Remember working in the office in high school and they'd sit there with those machines that went round and round and it smelled, that ink smelled terrible, right? But you're gonna claim that, well, guns should be registered because, you know, you have to register to vote. Well, wait a minute. I thought you have same day registrations. You have people that can just say, I am who I am. I get to do a provisional vote. Yes, I do. So you're going to claim that you have to have because you have to have registration and basic standards for voting, that you should have registration for guns. I don't think so. By the way, let's see, weapons created. And then she said, yet weapons created with a single intent to take a life. We have developed a dangerous aversion to any mechanism to understand where and to whom these weapons reside. Oh, yes, it's an insidious plot. Well, it's actually so that people like you, Bonnie Watson, are not out there, because the next step will be, well, we need to pick these things up. We can't have these people out there with these guns. So it's funny. But there's no training required to vote or open a business. Okay. But you want to have it for driving. So we do. So we should have training. So see, there's the next step. It's not just registration. Then it's going to be required voting, required training and all that kind of stuff for all of it. And, you got to remember that, gun ownership is a right, and it's been established by the courts and Heller. They found it to be an individual right, not a militia right or something like that. So, any costs incurred in trying to meet requirements like this, whether it's a fee for the license, we know that, folks, or cost for the training course, constitutes the equivalent of a poll tax, okay? So, yeah, this is a horrible bill, and it probably won't get anywhere, okay? because right now the Democrats can't even get measures through the Senate that seem to poll well enough with the American public. But gun registration does not poll well with the general public. So probably it won't get out of the House and to the Senate. So that's a good thing. But they showed their true colors right there. Let's see. Philadelphia sued again for withholding carry permits. It's interesting because these are I want to say what they've done is they have continued to use things like the pandemic requirements and stuff in order to I want to say, if you haven't been reading like Breitbart and stuff, they are really coming down on Gretchen Whitmer right now because of all the stuff that she's done. And actually, Dana Nessel, there's emails. Boy, don't these folks know that their emails are going to show up eventually? I guess they probably thought they had the same privileges that Hillary did with her emails. But Dana Nessel had an email out there where she, do you remember that restaurant owner in Holland that they arrested and took her like 100 miles away because she supposedly was held her for 4 days and because she supposedly ignored an order to keep her restaurant closed. It turns out that Dana Nessel actually, she has emails out there that where she found out that Tucker Carlson or Fox News was going to interview her. And so she specifically said, we need to go get her and arrest her before she can be on Fox News. So the morning she was scheduled to be on Fox News, before dawn, they showed up to arrest her. So now if that's not using your power of your office to abuse the rights of people, I don't know what is. But at any rate, here's Philadelphia Police Department, that what's happened is they've gotten to where they're, oh, no, you can't come in and pick. No, yes, we've already approved your permit. Yes, you have your CPL has been approved, okay? But no, you have to make an appointment to come in and pick it up, okay? You have to come and pick it up in person. And because of the pandemic, we're making in-person appointments, but they're not available for like 100 days or more because, pandemic, right? Well, it actually violates a state law that requires that they need to be issued within 45 days of being submitted. But, no. We're asking them to come in. Well, I got a great idea, okay? How about you put it in this federal envelope called the U.S. mail and mail it to the folks, okay? Like we do in Michigan here, by the way, okay? I got mine in 2 weeks, okay? Some people before the pandemic, we were getting them in 3 days, okay? So no. We have to, just like Detroit was doing that with their appointments for their interviews and stuff like that. Oh, no. No, we can, you, by the way, if you want to protest or do something like that, you're fine, okay? But no, if it's a appointment to pick up a CPL permit, which you shouldn't even need, okay, then you are going to have an appointment. And they were actually scheduling out like 13, 14 months for those appointments. Oh, that's amazing. So we'll see what happens. Again, the courts are going to get involved. Let's see. Deadline approaching for Abbott to sign constitutional carry. Do you know that the Texas, by the way, of any place that should have constitutional carry, it ought to be Texas, don't you think? Well, the House and Senate has sent a bill to Governor Abbott, Greg Abbott now, and he said before, oh, I'll sign it, but he is dragging it out. Okay, so we'll have to see what happens whether or not he actually decides to sign it, or if he says, well, I need a little change here or there, and it drags out further. And it's actually, there's a whole lot of pros and cons on both sides. There's law enforcement that are out there talking about how it will it'll be a problem for them to tell who's a felon and who's not. Well, how does that make a difference? We'll talk about that more when we get back from the break. This is Dick Kupke at Trigger Talk Radio here at WHAM Talk 1600 and 92.7 FM. I'll be back in a few minutes.
WHAM Talk 1600. Welcome back to Trigger Talk Radio with your host, Dick Kupke. Call now, 734-822-1600 to join in the conversation.
And we're back. And let's see, we have got the host of his own show at 1 o'clock, Your American Heritage, Ed Bondarenko, on the phone. Ed from Ypsilanti, how are you today?
Dick, I just love it when you talk politics. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
I know you guys do.
I was going to say, stay in your lane, but no, preach it, brother. Speak on. But the one thing that struck me...
You know, I was talking about a .264 or .268 6.5 Carcano bullet to start out the show, so I did stay in the lane there a bit. So.
I may have you on the show someday, and we'll talk about our American gun heritage.
But okay.
What I wanted, because really, it's a part of our heritage, like you said. But what I really wanted to point out was that obviously the mail is, it's, you can't just mail in stuff, you know, like gun registrations. You can't mail out stuff like gun registrations and CPL registrations, okay? Because the mail's not safe. You have to do it in person, you know, like voting.
Oh, yeah. I know. Isn't that ironic?
Yeah, I tried to say it right. It was hard to get it out correctly, but, you know.
You know, I got to tell you, the whole thing with the mail, it used to be, and I don't fault the mail carriers or anything like that. Something's going on because I got to tell you, we get the salt for our salt water softener delivered to our home, okay?
Oh, yeah.
And so what happened is we got an invoice that was mailed from, I'm not, you know, plugging for this, but a company called American Agua, which is the water softener company here in Saline. And they mailed it, and it took 3 weeks for it to go 2 miles from from their shop to our house. And it took 3 weeks. Now, that should have been a day, okay?
Yeah.
And then the other thing that was interesting is that when it comes to the U.S. mail, now I'm not sure, I'm sure people are not, I guess I want to say there are people who are stealing things like those cards that they were doing the tax or, you know, the pandemic relief. They were mailing out, believe it or not, Visa cards to people, debit cards. And there were people cutting them open and stealing them. I got to say, this happened to me personally, not with, because I didn't get one of those. I do not qualify for one of those rebates. But the thing is that the industry around the spring here, we know at least a couple of people who got their like graduation cards from people, and the envelopes were sliced open, and any gift cards were taken out of them and checks. And because of that, I sent my father a birthday card, and it's been a month now, and he's still never gotten it. So I think people are cutting open cards. And I mean, the safety that we used to normally assume with the U.S. mail is not there anymore.
Right. I don't want to, you know, I hate to say it like this. You said you don't want to disparage, you know, postal workers. And no, you don't want to, but there are some who have been caught throwing out the mail. They haven't delivered it. They've been caught going through and throwing out votes that they thought came from a Republican household, you know, and it's the same with the back to blue. There are good cops. There are lots of really good cops. And then there's some that aren't so good. And so, you know, I keep an open mind towards cops, towards postal workers. Hey, just towards anybody, not skin color, not race, not creed, not occupation, you know, people are people. Yep. And you got to judge them individually.
Yep, I know that. Except for politicians with a D after their name. Those.
Yeah, okay, you're right.
Yeah,
hey,
those we can
later.
Judge one way. Hey, thanks for the call today, Ed.
See ya.
Yep, bye-bye. Speaking of that, let's see, and I'm still talking politics here. This will be interesting. David Chipman, who is the guy that was running for ATF director. Oh, my goodness. I've got a story here, and it's got a picture of him. And it's that one where he's kind of like making a funny shape with his mouth, and it looks like he's ranting like a moron, which he was, actually. And it's interesting because it turns out, and I want to say a lot of these politicians will project onto everybody things that they would do. It's just like when politicians talk about, especially the liberal politicians, when they talk about things that they think that gun owners would do, it's because things that they would do. And I have a couple stories like that. But this David Chipman, the thing is that he was supposed to release all of his personal records and stuff, but he didn't, because it would show discipline reports and things like that. Turns out that apparently from a lot of his constituents there, or his co-workers, he apparently got he lost his service weapon at one point. And by the way, it's never been recovered, okay? And what he did is apparently he locked it in his personal car at night, and it got broken into. Now, these are the same people who are out there talking about how important it is to safely store your guns, and we need to store, the gun in the basement in a safe, disassembled, and the ammunition up in the attic, okay, or some crap like that. But here they are, they project that onto us when they are out there, and this guy lost his service gun, okay? Now, I would think that if anybody out there would be concerned about that, it would be the ATF guy, okay? That he would think, oh, man, I got to keep my gun safe. Oh, but no, he locked it in his personal car. Apparently not in a locked container that would be there. Maybe it was just under the seat. Maybe it was in his console. Maybe he had it locked in the glove compartment, which I can tell you, the locks on glove compartments won't stand up to a pen knife, okay? So, by the way, interestingly enough, here's an anti-gun Florida representative, Val Demings, who is running for the Senate in Florida against Marco Rubio. And you know what? Guess what? She can't find her old service pistol. Oh, gosh. Apparently, well, she was having some friends come to spend the night at their house, and they had small children, so she was worried about having a gun in the house, and so she put it in a duffel bag and put it in her car. And guess what? It got broken into and stolen. Man, that must have been like right out of her driveway or something. Where do you live, Representative Demings? This was actually when she was the police chief in Florida. And by the way, again, you're going to be somebody who's out there claiming that, oh, well, we have to have safety requirements and guns have to be locked up and stuff. But no, it was fine for you to put it in a duffel bag in your car and it was stolen out of your driveway? Okay, yeah, I believe that. But they project on us the things that they would do. Let's see, Gavin Newsom says a judge who overturned the California gun ban was owned by the NRA. Come on. By the way, this is Roger Benitez. Benitez sounds like it might be a Hispanic name. Oh, my gosh. And by the way, it's apparently a conservative judge. And by the way, the act, it was called Miller versus Ponta, which is also a Hispanic name. Well, why isn't he being, he's out there just ranting and raving against this judge. Judge Benitez, it's a stone cold ideologue. And you're not, Gavin Newsom? You guys are so anti-gun out there, and none of your gun laws are actually helping to prevent anything from happening with guns. By the way, Judge Benitez wrote a 94-page decision. And he goes into all the reasons why the so-called assault weapons ban, and he had, you know, is unconstitutional. And he talked about guns in common usage, and he had experts on and all that kind of stuff. So don't give me that, oh, he's owned by the NRA. By the way, the NRA is so screwed up, they don't own anybody right now, okay? Let's see. And speaking of, and I got to say, Ed was talking about this, where he was talking about the fact that it's part of our heritage, the gun ownership and all this. There is one thing I get a kick, it's not funny. I disagree with this right here. There's a magazine out there called Recoil, and it's kind of a modern day technical magazine with guns and airplanes and electronics and stuff. It's kind of like Everything magazine, and Recoil, and it always has a gun slant to it. Okay, gun lifestyles, gear, technology, sports, outdoor, home, personal defense, that kind of stuff. So they were having a new cover for their magazine, and they have on it a guy named Chris Cheng. Chris Cheng is the winner of that show Top Shot back in 2013. He's an Asian man, Chris Cheng, C-H-E-N-G, and he was an outstanding shot, and he's been an outstanding envoy for the gun industry, as well as the, you know, the average American gun shooter kind of thing. Okay. And but he is on the cover, and he is wearing a t-shirt that has a flag, and the flag has rainbow stripes on it. Okay. Now you may think, now a lot of people do a lot of things with flags. Okay. They will have flags that are, red, white, and blue. They'll have them in blue for, you know, blue lines and stuff like that. And that's okay. It's an expression. In this case here, Chris Cheng had come out as a gay guy, okay? And he came out right after he won the Top Shot thing. And you know what? You know what the big response was in the gun community? So what? Who cares? I'm of the age. I don't really care what you do, okay? Just don't force it on me. Don't force it on my kids. Don't, you know, stuff like that. So I want to say it kind of made me angry that that they had 4,000 comments that were not very good about, people saying they're forcing this on it. I got to say, I had back in 2011 or 12, I had the president of Gays with Guns on. And I think that has now gone into the Pink Pistols organization. But the point is that they said anyone who has followed, and this is of the magazine, and I want to say, I'm going to read this quickly. They said, anyone who has followed us for any length of time knows that we are no stranger to controversy. However, we are taken aback by some of the reactions to our upcoming cover draft, which we recently posted on social media. Chris Cheng has been a staple in the shooting community for a decade and has graced the pages of Recoil many times. Most recently, he's been an advocate for our gun rights in testimony to the U.S. Senate and founded a new Asian American firearms organization, which is also wonderful. I don't care if you're black, white, pink, green, whatever, you should be able to own a firearm, okay? As a strong defender of the individual liberty, they thought that he would be, they let him pick his own wardrobe. So he had his flag with the rainbow on it. We maintain that the Second Amendment is for all Americans, always has been, always will be. And it is up to us as individuals to bring that message to as many people as possible and challenge the media-driven stereotype of firearm owners, which is of us old white guys, they always make us seem. Okay, we have seen record numbers of our fellow citizens embrace the right to bear arms for the past 14 months. And new gun owners have shown they do not fit preconceived ideas of what they should look like. Gun rights are for everyone, no matter what their gender, sexual orientation, country of origin, or color of their skin. I agree 100%. Tom from Detroit is on the phone with a comment about the Second Amendment. Hi, Tom. How are you today?
Hi. I heard Ed when he called in. He said you were talking about politics, so I figured I'd put in, guns, politics, and religion. Okay, first off, the whole idea, God helps those who help themselves, right? Okay, right, everybody knows that. Now we're talking about politics. We're talking about this border crisis. These people fleeing, you know, the gangs are driving them out of their country, you know, endangering their families. Okay, well, you know, if they had a Second Amendment, they wouldn't be running away. They'd be standing their ground. And, you know, I guess if you'd say something like that to a liberal, like, you know, why don't our politicians, if they're real Republicans, if they're really for the free man, why aren't they pushing a Second Amendment in these other countries? No, they're just going to, you know, hand them money for anything except, you know, being able to defend their own selves and helping themselves rather than relying on government.
There's actually an NRA public service announcement that where there's a woman from Venezuela who says just that same thing. The first thing they did was take away the rights for people in Venezuela to have guns, and now it's turned into a hellhole, right?
Exactly, and every, you know, and I know you know who John Lott is, and he's proved that, you know, wherever there's more guns, there's less crime. Yeah, there's going to be instances where, you know, there's going to be some collateral damage. There is within it. You want to drive an automobile, you got to take a chance. You want to fly on an airplane, you got to take a chance, you know?
Yep.
I mean, that's just the way it is.
I had John Lott on the show, gosh, many years ago. He was giving a pitch in Ann Arbor, and I called him and got on the show. So he was not a very good interview, and by the way, he still isn't. I listened to him. You have to drag everything out of him, although I think it was early in California when I called him. So at any rate, there are some things, just like I mentioned in Saline, we had a somebody with an errant bullet that had gotten off of somebody's private gun range. Okay, you got to be careful, but those things can happen in a country with freedoms.
Yeah, and there's legal consequences, so you know you have some incentive to make sure you're careful. You know, you don't, you know, so yeah, I mean, that's just the way it is. You know, that's why we have laws, because people do stupid things. And
so, Tom, were you at a gun range? It sounded like I heard shooting in the background when we first started out.
Yeah, they're having a steel plate shoot at the Western Wayne County Conservation Association. It's open to the public, but it's almost over.
Well, that's a
they'll have another one. They'll have
sound.
A pin shoot next Saturday, though. That, you know, starts at, I think, at 9 and gets over at maybe 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
A lot of the shooting events, we do that at our club too. We have things like pin shoots, and we actually have a military rifle shoot at the at Tri-County, but they're always in the morning. They're like Saturday morning from 10 to noon, so I can't do any of these things. So thanks for listening, Tom.
Okay. You're welcome. Have a good
okay.
one.
Okay. Bye. Yeah, bye-bye. Let's see, and I don't have enough time to do this justice, so I'll save this till next week. But I can't help but have a warm place in my heart for the M1 Garand. And I was reading a gun review, and I mentioned it last week, and I didn't get to it. But it's interesting because it talks about... And I got to say this to be true. And this one that's on the picture that looks identical to mine, almost the same wood and everything. He said, let's face it, the vast majority of guns are rather boring, not from a yeehaw perspective, but from the perspective of mechanical ingenuity and history. The modern AR-15 may be the best example. As popular and function as it is, the AR is a repackaged 50-year-old technology that's so plastic and cold, it has no soul. Now, I think that's true. I think that's why so many people are into customizing it and stuff like that, because the AR-15 by itself is kind of like, eh. You know, it's kind of like I used to feel like that about Glocks, okay? And matter of fact, most polymer pistols. And I was kind of like, what is it? MEH. That's what they say. Meh, you know, I think. And so you look at an AR-15, it's kind of like, oh, okay. Oh, gee, yeah, okay. He's got a Picatinny rail on the forestock. So what? Okay. And even if you doll them up a little bit, okay, you have a neat compensator on it, or you have a I have a weapons light. I have 45-degree backup sights. I have a EOTech on it, all that kind of stuff. Well, I allegedly do. If I were to have an AR-15, but the point is that they're kind of boring, okay? But not when you look at an M1 Garand, okay? An M1 Garand is absolutely history, okay? Now, I grew up watching combat, watching Rat Patrol, watching 12 O'Clock High, watching Audie Murphy to Hell and Back, all of these great movies that had M1 Garands in it. Although Audie Murphy tended to like the, maybe because he was so small, he tended to like the M1 carbine more than that. And I'll never forget that line in the movie when he had traded a gun with somebody and he goes, "Hey, give me back my Thompson." That is just like my favorite movie line, okay? But the Garand has a lot going for it. It is a, matter of fact, it, to most people, they'd go, "Oh, well, that doesn't look scary. That doesn't look like a, an evil black rifle, so it must be okay." Well, it's actually far more performance oriented in terms of terminal performance. That 30-06 round carries a lot of energy, a lot of distance. Okay, I want to say, it has that beautiful wood to it, and sometimes the wood has character because it should still have all its cartouches on it. And there are a whole industry. And what's a cartouche? Okay, a cartouche is a stamp in the wood that is done by either the manufacturer or the arsenal when it refinishes it, and it actually often has the initials of the inspector. And by the way, there is a whole list of those. So what happens is you can take your, and let's see, my Garand is a 1944 Garand. And you can, and it still has all its cartouches. And you can look up and see who the inspector was. And it may have been, you know, like Fred Thompson. And he worked at Springfield he worked at Springfield from 1943 to 1945 on the night shift. And so, so you can figure out who worked on these things. And it's got all sorts of neat pieces. And you can, it may have been re-arsenaled. So it's got, and that means that, and this is where it's kind of interesting. A lot of times these guns would come off the line and they'd all go back to an arsenal and they'd take them all apart and they'd put all the pieces in individual bins and then they'd put them all back together again, okay, with whatever they happen to be using, okay? So you may end up with a Springfield that has a, another one of the other manufacturers, because there were multiple companies that would make them. So you may have somebody else's trigger guard on it, or you may have had somebody else's butt plate on it. And it's same thing is true for the M1 carbine. There are so many mix and match pieces, which is what's amazing is that, and that's what up until World War II kind of times and stuff, a lot of guns were individually made and handcrafted and stuff like that. And so the mass production of the M1 Garand and other World War II kind of guns came up with interchangeable parts, and that's what makes them so cool. Now, I kind of said I wasn't going to get into it, but I did. But next week, we're going to talk in detail about M1 Garands. And so we'll have a lot of fun and about ammunition and reloading for them and individual pieces. Things like, what's a winter trigger guard? What's a winter trigger? Oh, gosh, that's really neat. I mean, that's so that they could fire the gun with mittens on in the Arctic? Who would have thought of that? It's so cool. And I actually have one of those on mine. So this is Dick Kupke at Trigger Talk Radio here at WAM Talk 1600. Until next week, have fun at the range.